You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, the first normal episode of 2025. This is Features Editor John Gentilian. I'm here with and more. What's happening?
What's happening? It's a new year. That's exciting. Kind of. It's scary.
Well, it is scary.
But what are you going to do?
But I'll tell you what's exciting. And then, you know, well, actually, that's the whole thing is, on one hand, it's easy to revel in the doom and gloom because there's a lot of scary things on the horizon, I got to say. Namely, and actually we talked before the show, namely Facebook and Twitter and maybe even Instagram aren't going to fact check
Instagram
anymore.
Which
I think is a bummer. I mean, I'm against censorship, and I'm not necessarily for companies saying what you can and cannot say. But that being said, on the other hand, without that kind of stuff, Russian and Chinese and even homegrown American misinformation spreads like wildfire and genuinely changes what the outcome of election would have been. And the fact of the matter is misinformation is probably what got Trump elected. You know what I mean? So I guess I'm against those websites stopping fact checking. You know what I mean?
Well, they're pretty, they picked and choosed pretty good before they did away with fact checking. Some things were fact checked, some things weren't.
Oh, really?
Some things were fact checked with wrong information. Yeah, it was pretty, it wasn't great.
Was there a bias to it? Was it mostly left or right fact checking or neither really?
I think at the beginning it had its heart in the right place. And then I don't know if it was actual people doing it or if it was AI or what happened. But at some point it did seem like things kind of went off the rails. Also, in Canada, you can't share links to news sources on Facebook or Instagram, which is really, really, really stupid because a lot of the things that
they tag
as news sources aren't actually news. Like I tried to share a CBC radio program that had nothing to do with politics, and it was like, you're violating our thing. We're not letting you post a link. And it's like, seriously, what the hell? Who is flagging these things? So again, if they're like, we're doing away with fact checking, but you can't share something that might have actual facts, like this is just so hypocritical. I did see a good meme that was somebody posted, Mark Zuckerberg is the first recipient of a rat penis transplant, and he can't say he's not.
And there's also one like Mark Zuckerberg, noted child molester, or you know, like,
yeah, but no, you can't fact check it.
Yeah, so yeah, man, like I wish, like I'm not a fan of a company controlling what you can or cannot say. Although it is a company, it's not the government, so legally they can. But on the other hand, it's like misinformation and lies is very dangerous, man. I don't know, man. The world's a mess, man. The world is a mess.
And the world is a mess.
I don't know that it's going to get better. So anyways, well, let's not revel in the doom and gloom. Let's talk about cool, exciting things. And
yeah.
Here's a cool, exciting thing. February 15, a free Joe Jack Towson and Dead Movement Show. That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
That's going to be an animated, despite the fact that I'm going to get off this soapbox in a second. Despite the fact that the support the local scene people are trying to destroy the local scene, we're still cranking along, and we're going to be doing a free show. I'd like to see you take an issue with that when you jackasses of Joe Jack Talcum. And it's going to be awesome, man. It's going to be free at Animated Brewing. That's in Coatesville, which is near Philadelphia. February 15. Pat and Mike of All Else Failed are doing opening, but they're doing separate sets, so that's kind of cool. If you're a fan of All Else Failed, it's like seeing a band that you like but like the solo version of it, which is kind of cool. And it's at 7 o'clock, and it's going to be rad, and I have no idea what Joe's going to play. He usually plays solo stuff, Dead Milkman stuff, maybe some covers, maybe some rarities, but you never know. So it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be fun. That's February 15. And then February 22 is the Philly Record Freakout returning again for the 10th installment. And we're going to have a whole bunch of records for sale and some new sellers. And that's going to be at Philomoka. That's 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on February 22nd in Philly at Philomoka on Spring Garden. And so a lot of cool things happening on the news side of things.
A lot of very exciting stuff.
So let's see what we have to talk about on the news. Oh, Em, you wanted to talk about the year-end lists and what happened. So let's talk about the year-end list. Em, what's your opinion of the year-end list?
I love the year-end lists. They're all really cool because I don't think any of us have overlap, do we?
No, I don't think so. One guy was
I
complaining
could be
about that.
wrong.
Which in a way actually, like I sort of understand why he might like Pitchfork used to, honest, that they still do, or Brooklyn Beacon, like the very best punk record of the year. Like I don't know, can you really say that? You know what I mean? You could say your personal list, but I don't know if a website like objectively this is the best punk record of the year. How can you say that? So I
You
kind of like
can't.
that it's different vibes and and it shows the person. And also I also like how Pitchfork and whatever, like you can use and even Bandcamp, you can tell that when they make their lists, they're not doing what they actually like the best. They're doing what they want to purport as their image of liking the best. That is, they're very influenced
Right.
by buzz or oh, this band must be there. Like, whereas the punk news list,
Yeah.
like, I put like I think like, no one cares about Flock of Seagulls in 2025, but I do, and Flock of Seagulls is on my list. You know what I mean? So like
Yeah.
our lists are not what you want people to think that you're cool. This is what
No.
is this is generally what I like the best, me, out of the year. So go ahead, Em.
Well, that's exactly it. It's so fun because it's like, and I was checking, you and I do have overlap, but not in like the actual list part. Like I have a couple albums that you have, but in my honorable mention thing.
Was it, I almost had Amol on mine, Amol the Sniffers, but then
It's a good
something
one.
came along at the last second and knocked it out. Let me see what it was. Like it literally knocked it out like the last sec. Oh, Judas Priest. I had
Oh my
Amol on
God.
mine, and then Sam
That's
Holden had Judas
funny.
Priest on his. And honestly, like the Amol record is cool, and if I was cool, I'd be like, yeah, Amol. So, and I like that Amol record, but the fact of the
Yeah.
matter is, I've loved Judas Priest for like 30 years now. And so, and I Invincible Sealed is, it's not their best record, but it's pretty good. So it had to go on, and it had to go on, and sadly, it knocked out Amol.
That's all right. That happens. I don't, yeah, because I did something different with my list because I was working on the Dominionated list as like kind of around the same time. So it was like I'm writing so much, like so many little blurbs and stuff. So I want to kind of keep that going. And what I do every year is I write until I can't form thoughts anymore. And that started because the first list I did in one night by accident. Because I thought that the deadline was like, oh, 2 weeks away. And I was like, oh shit, it's tomorrow. I better get this in. So now it's like, okay, I'll start it earlier and then I'll just kind of go. So my nothing's ranked. It's all just kind of there. And try to get more kind of into it, I guess. And make it fun for me. And hopefully other people like enjoyed reading it or checked out some of the music or whatever. But it's always fun going back and being like, oh, that was this year, or that wasn't this year, or whatever. So I really like the variety. I think if we all picked the same thing, it would be so boring, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Because this way you get to find new stuff. Like, I don't think we talked about Flock of Seagulls on the podcast, but I didn't know they had a new, or like, I didn't know they released something. Unless we
Yeah, and
talked
that
about it and I forgot about it,
surprisingly, it's like super good. Like, it's honestly, it's probably their second best record ever. Honestly, like, that's not really tough competition because their first record's amazing, and all the ones after that are not that good. But this one is actually like super good.
that's so
So,
cool. Yeah, but there's so many just like great ones. I need to go and like do more of kind of a an in-depth look. Sam Holden always has like really cool stuff on his list.
yeah, he's waiting to like metal and that kind of stuff for sure.
Where it's like, oh my gosh, I also forgot about the Blood Incantation album. I didn't listen to it, but like I forgot it came out this year.
I saw that band once. I thought they were cool, but I wasn't blown away by them. But maybe if I listened to them more, I would be blown away. Apparently, they're all like science teach, like high school science teachers, and
Oh.
like Blood Incantation is like just their side thing. So that's kind of funny.
That is funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah, because like their videos pop up all the time, and I'm like, I should actually listen to this because it seems cool. But yeah,
Yeah.
so much good shit was released this year. Everyone should go check it out and get out of the homogenized list business.
Well, there you have it. So let's see. Let's hit some news. Homefront is in the studio, Em, and every day they've been posting brief clips on their Instagram. And honestly, I gotta say, it sounds pretty good, Em. The recording with Jonah
Ooh.
Falco again of Effed Up, who recorded their first record. See, I thought Homefront had two records, but apparently the first record is actually an EP. So they've got an EP,
Yep.
an LP, and a 12-inch single, and that's all they have. And so I gotta say, like the last album was awesome, and the stuff they've been posting has actually sounded like super duper good. It sounds like they're going in more, and I don't mean this derisively, in a more commercial, more poppy direction. Like the beats they've been playing have been almost dance beats,
Oh, sure.
more new order than Joy Division, if you will.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I saw Homefront at Punk Rock Bowling, and they really were great. And I'm excited for this. Em, did you check out any of the Instagram pics, Instagram stories? And are you excited for this? And what do you think it's going to sound like? I think
Yes.
it will be poppier, more dancey, and I think that'll be cool. That's what I think.
I am checking out the stories right now, or the posts, I guess. They don't have any stories up. They don't have any stories up.
Oh, I guess they were posting one a day for
Oh!
like 12 days or something.
Boo! That's okay. I'll take your word for it. I really enjoy Games of Power.
They should put out a CD of that, Em. Why don't they put out a CD of that, dick bags?
They sh
I'll tell you why. It's called Delay. Is that La Vida Es Un Moose?
think so.
They're like too cool for CDs. It's like, you dickhead, like. CDs are super cheap to make, and people like them, namely me. Just make 100 CDs and sell them for $20 each, and make 100 CDs, sell them for $20 each, and make $16 per CD. You're too cool to make $16 per CD, you dick bags at La Vida Es Un Moose. That doesn't apply to Homefront. I like Homefront a lot.
All right, wait, do they have it on? No, it's just vinyl. I was
Just
gonna say
vinyl.
what, yeah, what's on their Bandcamp thing? It's just vinyl. It would look so cool as a CD though. Like you could have so much fun with like the design and the layout and all that.
I agree.
But
And they
yeah.
could put the extended versions on the EP on the CD as well, which would make the CD kind of special, man.
Oh,
Dick bags.
yeah. You hear that,
No, Homefront are cool. Homefront,
Homefront?
actually, and
What is it, Lupita?
maybe I'll reach out to Homefront and say, let me make CDs. Maybe I'll
Do
do that,
it.
Em. Maybe I'll do that. Because I don't want to jinx myself.
Yes.
There's something else exceptionally cool in the works, Em. Exceptionally cool in the works. Which I'll be able to talk about soonish. Exceptionally cool, Em. Exceptionally cool.
I am excited to hear about what it is.
And I was talking with the person of interest. I mean, we're already, well, I shouldn't say anything because I'm jinxing myself, but we're already 60% of the way there. And I was sending over, we'll say, important information to the person of interest. And we'll see what he says.
That is very exciting.
And
All
if
of the
that,
wood has been knocked on.
Is cool, then I'm definitely going to keep doing that. See, well, it's in the realm of CDs. If that goes well, then I'm just going to keep cranking out the CDs, yeah, because, and they're cheap to make, they're fun, and they're cool. And Sealed Records and La Vida Es Un Moose are dicks for not making CDs of Homefront. Dicks, I say.
I would love a Homefront CD, so I hope you're able to make it work.
I mean, in part because stream music doesn't use WAV files; it uses MP3 or something. And I gotta
Yeah.
say, like stream music does sound crappy. Like I've listened to something on streamed and then on CD, and the CD sounds so much better.
Oh, what's this one? There is a certain download file that has really good.
Well, FLAC on Bandcamp, you can download in FLAC, which sounds way better.
Yeah.
Sounds as good as WAV, but sometimes the problem is the M is even though it's a FLAC, the band uploads it as an MP3, so
Oh,
it's a
I see what you're
FLAC of
saying.
an MP3, which is meet. It's like when someone's like, you know, like, oh, like this record is analog, but the file used for the record is digital. So therefore the analog is arbitrary. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's not always the case. Sometimes bands will upload files to Bandcamp as FLACs or WAVs, but not always. But even so, I find that like if you stream, and it, maybe just me, if you stream through your phone or even through your car, even if it's a FLAC, well, actually, most things on like Spotify are not FLAC or WAV, but if you do, it sounds crappy, even if it is, say, a FLAC or WAV. But then if you play the CD, it like kicks. That's just my experience, you know?
Yeah. CDs are, and they're so portable.
And they're
you don't
cheap,
have to worry about
awesome
their
names.
Battery running
And they
out.
They last forever, Em. They last forever.
They do. They're hard as shit to destroy.
And plus, if you break, like, with a record, and I love, I mean, Em knows I love records. If you damage a record jacket, yes. You're like, darn. The CD, if you break the jewel case, like, who gives a shit? I'll just put another jewel case in. Like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like,
the CD is indestructible, basically.
And what if I put out Homefront, Games of Power as a CD,
yes.
But I used a blue tinted jewel case. How about that?
Yeah. That would look cool.
I might have to reach out to Homefront. We'll see. But on the other hand, like when you reach out to Buzzy bands, like they have plans. And so usually they say no. Except for some of my favorite bands, it seems like Zorn, there's some I love Zorn, the Philadelphia punk band.
Oh,
like
yes.
Some company in Malaysia puts out like CDs of their records. And I'm like, how come all these other people get to put out CDs? But whenever I reach out to someone fucked up and say, hey, can I put out physical versions of your mixtapes that you only have digitals? They're like, no. You know, like you're not doing it. So don't you want money? You know, and the answer is, I guess not. I don't know, Em. I don't know. I guess what it comes down to, Em, and then I'll throw it back to you. I've been talking over you. I'm not cool, and I don't care that I'm not cool, but everyone else cares that I'm not cool, Em. That's what it comes down to.
Do you know what is cool, though?
Joe Jack Calcum and Homefront and CDs. Yes.
And do you know, because we were talking about the lists, but like, this doesn't really have to do with Homefront. This is kind of, sort of, maybe related, because this is also a Canadian band.
D-way.
No.
Neo Boys.
No.
Was it Homesick, not Homesick Abortions, Dayglo Abortions.
No, not Dayglo Abortions.
Oh, go ahead and go and tell me.
Okay, there is a band I wrote about for one of the cool new bands. I don't remember what year it was, but they're called White Collar. And they have like members of like Bootlicker and Head Cheese and stuff. And I completely forgot that they released an album this year. And I saw it earlier today and I was like, oh shit, I forgot to include that on my year-end list because it was really good. I'm sending it to you right now.
I forgot that Vicious Dreams put out a new record, and I definitely would have put that on my list. I felt real bad about that, honestly. But on the other hand, like they didn't promote their record. Like I hate it when bands put out a record and they don't promote it at all. Like they just put it out like our new record's out. You know, it's like you not want people to hear it, you know? But I do wish I listened to the new Vicious Dreams records. Oh well.
Oh yeah, this band is cool. I didn't know they had a. I forgot about this. That's neat. I'll give her a listen.
So yeah. And also, and though, Homefront.
Yes.
How good is Homefront? Do you think the new record's going to be good?
Homefront's great.
Do you think the new record's going to be good? That's the question.
I think the new record's going to be good. I do think they're going to go in a different direction.
What direction?
I haven't listened to the. I didn't get to see the stories.
Well,
so
go
I'm
ahead and guess, Em.
Your word for it. I'm going to make an educated guess.
What's
I'm
your
gonna
speculation?
Say they're gonna go in a more dancey direction and they're gonna do kind of like the dance punk, disco punk kind of vibe.
Well, we will see.
Which I'm here for. I think that would be fun.
Yeah, Homefront's real cool, so I hope they keep esteem. And last question then on Homefront.
Yes, on Homefront.
Punk is very famous for like insanely hyping a band, and it was like, oh my god, this like one of the greatest examples would be like Sheer Mag.
Oh yes.
It was like, oh, this is the greatest band ever. They're so old, great, blah, blah, blah. And then they put out the second record, and everyone forgets about them. Will that happen with Homefront, Em? Or will it be an Amel and a Sniffer situation where somehow they get bigger and bigger and bigger with each step, or even like the chats, although I think the chats party might be over. So, M, two questions there.
Yes.
What will happen? Will Homefront get bigger or smaller? Bands never stay the same at that level of buzz. And the chats, is the party over?
I think Homefront's going to get bigger because I feel like they have that the team behind them that knows how to record them well, which I don't know if Sheer Meg has that. And then with the chats, when was the last time? I'm trying to remember because they were like, we were running stories about them every like second week on Punk News for quite a while. And I'm trying to remember what the last thing was. I think it was a tour announcement or something. So they haven't been doing much lately.
They were huge at, like, at Punk Rock Bowling.
What I've been able to tell.
At Punk Rock Bowling, I was genuinely surprised at how huge they were at Punk Rock Bowling. Like, they got a massive response at Punk Rock Bowling. Like, I was really, like, I knew people were into them, but they were almost like a headlining band there, you know.
They're like the punk AC/DC, and I say that with love.
Is that too obvious, though, an Australian band that is loud and fast and catchy?
Well, I mean, that, yeah, but also because, and I don't mean this in a bad way, because I enjoy AC/DC, but a lot of their stuff sounds the same, and I find a lot of the chat stuff sounds the same.
See, I don't feel that AC/DC Bon Scott sounds the same, although I would say Brian Johnson there sounds the same. AC/DC is like one of my all-time favorite bands, but...
That's a fair assessment, and I would agree with that. So I think in that, the AC/DC comparison was that more than they are Australian and they are loud. I don't think the party is necessarily over. I think they're going to do something again. Like, I think when they start releasing music again, or if they choose to, or however they do it, there'll be a mass kind of rally around them. People will be like, oh my God, I fucking love this band.
Do you think the major labels are sniffing around Homefront, M? Or, even if not the major labels, the big indies?
I definitely think big indie right now.
Like who?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Usually,
well, I think what you have.
You know, Matador likes to kind of pick up that kind of buzz.
Yeah.
And so does Merge and maybe even Sub Pop and maybe even Epitaph. I think the most likely scenario would be either Merge or Matador. The fear I have, though, Em, is when bands sign to Merge or Matador, sometimes they become more, I guess, more widely accepted, but less good. You know what I mean? And like they kind of dull their nasty attack, if you will.
I think so. Like they try to become more palatable. Is that what you're
going for? And I always wonder, is that the band making the decision or the label? And I know firsthand that a lot of times it actually is the label, not like major label style saying you must do this, but hey, it'd be cool if you did this, or what if you did that? You know what I mean? And then like, I feel like I love Effed Up, and Effed Up, if you ask me, has been putting out some of their very best stuff ever recently. That being said, when they signed to Matador and even Merge, that a lot of that stuff wasn't my favorite stuff. Chemistry of Common Life was awesome, but David Comes to Life, Glass Boys was much more sedate and gentle than their crazier, more far out stuff, you know? And was that a coincidence, or was that, you know, the label kind of saying, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you went in a more college rock angle as opposed to, you know, crazy 80-minute songs about horses, you know what I mean? and so will that happen then?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think that with like Fucked Up's college rock thing, I think that was themselves. I don't think they were led that way. Not saying other bands were like might not have been, but I don't think they were. And
See, that's my fear with Scowl, is there is that track, you know, that first track, which was like new metal. And I'm like, what is this? You know, Scowl's got a new track coming out in just a couple of days. So that track will be very telling him. It'll be very telling to see what we get.
Oh, did you see the mood board that they posted?
No.
For the single? 1 minute. I'll just pull her up here.
What's a mood board? Is that like a Ouija board?
No. I mean, you can put a Ouija board on a mood board if you wanted.
Well, I don't know what a mood board is.
Have you ever used Pinterest?
Actually, I haven't. I don't even, I mean, I don't even really know what Pinterest is, to tell you the truth.
Oh, okay. So a mood board is like things that inspired you. And it could be so, like, for example, Scowl's thing, it starts off with like a very kind of blurry, like scratched up photo of a cat jumping. And then the next one is another member of the band jumping on a trampoline.
Oh, I see.
There's like a Good Place thing there. There's Little Nicky. There's Bedazzled. There's like little stickers. There's a bunch of moths. There's a band playing live. There's a Homer dressed as the devil with maracas. It's just supposed to be like the vibe of the song.
Is a mood board on Pinterest? It's like you put on Pinterest, like what's influencing you right now? Is that what a mood board is?
Yeah, kind of. So like, because on Pinterest, I'm sending you one of these right now. Where are you on here? There you are. On Pinterest, you have like a bunch of different boards you can make. Like a lot of people plan vacations or plan weddings or whatever, and it's like, this is what I want on my thing. And you know, I have, oh God, that has a lot on it, but I have one for tattoos and, you know, just like outfits and things. And then I have other things that I do to fuck up the algorithm. Yeah. But typically you use it to like manifest these things, right?
Well, there you have it. That's what a mood board is, and we shall see. Let's talk about not a fun thing. So there's been a relatively major development in the anti-flag lawsuit, the Justin Sane lawsuit. I'll briefly recap. Just over, well, in late 2023, anti-flag broke up. And it turns out the reason they broke up is because a woman accused singer Justin Sane of sexually assaulting her. And then the band said, oh, well, we know Justin and we don't think he would have done that. And then like 12 other women came through and said, yeah, he did like the same thing to me. So then the band broke up and it looks real bad for Justin. And he didn't, he said he didn't do it, but he's got like 12 or 13 or 14 women saying he did. Not great odds. And so anyways, the woman that the woman that brought the first accusation sued him in a New York court, New York federal court. This past summer 2024, she was due to enter a default judgment. A default judgment is where if you sue someone and they don't respond to the complaint, you win the lawsuit simply by the fact that the person did not respond. However, at that time, oh, also at that time, she filed a motion that said Justin Sane, they've got very strong concerns that he's going to flee to Ireland because he's also an Irish citizen. And after that, she amended the complaint to sue Justin Sane under direct causes of action, assault, battery, sexual assault. And then she also sued Hard Work Distribution Incorporated, which is the corporation or one of the corporations that operates Anti-Flag. And of course, the other members of Anti-Flag are the co-owners of the corporation along with Justin Sane. In late December, well, actually before late December, before late December, the attorneys that represent the corporation, not Justin, rather the corporation, filed a motion to be dismissed from the case. The legal theory upon which the victim or alleged victim sued the corporation was a negligence theory, which basically means that the corporation violated its duty of care owed to her. And that was under two theories. The first was Justin Sane was an employee of Hard Work Distro, and therefore, as an employee, that company is responsible for the actions of its employee, and also general negligence, which basically means the company acted not reasonably, and thereby she was damaged by the company acting not reasonably. Well, the judge ruled in late December, and the judge ruled that the corporation had no duty owed to the victim in either of those circumstances. That is, Justin Sane was not acting as an employee of the company when he raped her, and therefore, or sexually assaulted her. Therefore, the company is not liable for the actions of an employee outside the scope of the employee's duties, which is long-held law. I mean, that goes back 60, 70, 80 years. They also found that the company did not, there was not a theory of general negligence as to the victim, because the company did not act unreasonably with regards to her. And they didn't have a general duty of care owed to her. Therefore, so the company was dismissed from the lawsuit, which means in the lawsuit, the only person left in the lawsuit is Justin Sane. And so the victim is most likely going to file a default against Justin and get a default judgment. And now you might say, oh, well, that's great. So she'll get a judgment against him. But that's actually probably bad news, because he, Justin Sane, has not filed an answer. And the reason he hasn't filed an answer, and we're just speculating here, it could be that he's judgment proof, meaning he has no money at all. So if you have judgment against a person that has no money, Em, what's that worth?
Oh,
Em, are you there?
Sorry, I was muted. I answered, and then I was like, wait, what's going on? Sorry about that. Nothing.
Right. A judgment against someone that is judgment proof that has no money is worth nothing. Or it could mean that he's going to file for bankruptcy once she gets a judgment against him, or try to settle and then threaten filing bankruptcy. Although a sexual assault, actually, if it's intentional in certain circumstances, is not dischargeable in bankruptcy. Or it could mean that he's left the country and took all his cash with him, so you can't get him, you know. Now, the fact of the matter is you can transfer judgment from one country to another depending on the country, but that's really hard to do. It costs a lot of money, takes a lot of time, and you've got a lot of hurdles to get over to make that happen. I mean, it's possible, but it's a lot of work, and more often than not, it doesn't work out for numerous reasons. So the fact of the matter is it's looking relatively bleak for the victim here, because she probably will get a judgment against Justin Sane. But if he's in Ireland, like she says, and all his money's over there, then it's going to be real tough to get money out of him. Is she going to want to put up 10, 20, 30 grand to execute a judgment in Ireland that might not even go through? Probably not. Now, her attorney's probably working on a contingency fee. So the question is the attorney going to want to put up 10, 20, or 30 grand against a guy hiding in Ireland that might claim he's got no assets, you know? Who knows? Who knows, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it's looking real bleak for the person here. But also, Em, not that there's a whole lot of question, but it doesn't look too good for Justin Sane, and the fact that if he was innocent, which I don't think he is, but if he was innocent, then wouldn't you file a response to the claim? Like wouldn't you want to prove yourself innocent if you were innocent? You know,
you'd think so, right?
And not just get a default judgment and run away. You know, so yeah, it's looking like a bad situation all around. And of course, it's gruesomely ironic because Anti-Flag was very much a progressive band that was one of their main messages was protection, or not protection, equal rights for women and being pro women, that kind of thing, you know. And so it's a bad situation, Em. Although where I was kind of shocked is it seemed like not a whole lot of people. I remember when this whole thing went down, it was huge news.
Yeah, but
now that people have moved on, it seems like not that many people actually care about the actual end result of this horrible thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's weird, right?
People don't like being forced to see the truth in things.
I don't think it's that, honestly.
I think it's that.
I think it's people just have very short attention spans. You know what I mean? Like no one's better to prove that than Donald Trump. Anytime he does something horrible, he just says, what about the immigrants? You know? And then everyone forgets about the horrible thing that he did. You know what I mean? And so I just think as people have a short attention span, I think people like getting wrapped up in things, but when it takes the actual energy to see them through or follow along with them, they just get bored and move on, you know? And in a way, news has conditioned people to do that, frankly.
Everything is breaking news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably, like, I don't argue with our attention spans aren't probably what they used to be. But, I mean, I can only speak for myself on that count. I don't know. It's hard to say.
So
People should
I
be
don't.
paying attention to stuff, though.
Well, I think I should be paying attention to this anti-flag thing because it's so hypocritical. It's
Yes.
even with there's that old Norm Macdonald thing. Norm Macdonald had a routine about Bill Cosby, and he's like, people always say that the worst thing was the hypocrisy, but no, the worst thing was the raping, which I agree that the hypocrisy is bad, but the raping is the worst thing here.
Yes.
And
Yeah,
that
100%.
I don't know, man. It's kind of messed up. This guy is I don't know that he's getting away with it, but he's getting off very lightly if he's just going to go to Ireland and hide there forever and really not, suffer the consequences of his bad actions, allegedly,
And he could
but
hurt more people.
yeah, it don't look good for him, man. So of course, what am I worried about defamation for? He's in Ireland. What's he going to do to me in America? So maybe I shouldn't worry about although we don't know that he's in Ireland, he might still be in USA, but it don't look good for him. Or, well, I mean, it's his actions are very telling, I'll say. How about that?
That's a good way to put it.
I have to speak very carefully these days because within the span of 1 or 2 years, we've been threatened with two defamation actions. And the fact of the matter is, it's like we would probably be in the right both times. But
Right.
I guess bad actors have learned how to weaponize that. And in California, actually, I actually did a fair amount in California and other states is what's called an anti-slap. Anti-slap is where if someone
Okay.
sues you for defamation and it's not defamation, you get kind of a bonus action against them because they're trying to curtail your free speech by weaponizing defamation when it's not defamation,
Oh,
And
wow.
so
Okay.
I used to do a lot of that in California. That is the anti-slap. Which is when someone says something bad, and then someone else says it's defamation, and you're like, no, it's not defamation, it's actually true, or something like that. Then you beat them up, So I used to beat up people that would use defamation as a weapon. And so anyway, the point of Punk, but at Punk News, I guess we've been getting more and more of that. Like we're gonna sue you for defamation, even though we did something really bad. And it's a bummer, but yeah, I don't know, man. People are very litigious these days. And news has to be more careful than ever. So there's that.
Yeah, the wording has to be precise.
It does. It really does.
Yes.
So, and let's talk about something, I guess, a little bit more fun. Green Day are
Okay.
releasing an audio file version of Dookie. I think it's
Oh.
spread across two records, I think. Yes. Plays at 45, which means there's probably
Okay.
like three songs on a record per side, rather.
Oh,
How many
okay.
tracks is Dookie? Is it like 12 or 14? Let's see here.
I think it's 11.
Oh, it's really that short, huh? Let's see here. It
I could be
is
wrong. No, it's 14.
14 tracks.
But 15 if you count the hidden track.
So three or four songs per side at 45. So that's like 12 minutes a side, 10 minutes a side. 10 minutes a side, actually, almost exactly. The record's 40 minutes long, so that's 10 minutes a side. M, do you hold Dookie as one of the iconic punk records? And either way, do you feel as though Dookie should have a 45 RPM audio file version that runs about 120 bucks? And should any
Yes.
record have a audio file version that runs 120 bucks?
Okay, first of all, I think Dookie is a like seminal punk album because it just brought like the I'm trying to describe accurately here. Well, because Dookie brought not brought, oh my God, brought the like kind of pop punk, if you want to call it pop punk, but I don't feel right calling it pop punk.
Well, pop punk is a very malleable
No.
word because to
Yeah.
me, pop punk is like, Kepi Ghulie or like Screeching. I'm not a fan of Screeching Weasel, but to me, Screeching Weasel is very pop punk. Other people say
What?
pop punk is any punk that's like sounds like the Ramones. And some people say pop punk is any punk that's poppy. And some people say pop punk is stuff like Brand New, which to me is not, well, it might be pop, but certainly isn't punk. So pop punk is a very malleable. Definition to it.
Yeah, okay.
See, to me, to clarify, to me, pop punk are bands that rip off the Ramones. To me, that's what pop punk is. But that
Fair
word has
enough.
been expanded a great deal, you know.
Yeah. Well, Dookie brought Green Day into the popular kind of plethora, and a lot of like other punk bands kind of followed. So I think, you have to kind of give it its due in that way. It's not my favorite Green Day album, but it's
What's
still
your favorite Green
good.
Day album?
Insomniac.
Dose?
Pardon?
Dose?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I blast what is it? Candy. That's a lyric. Nightlife over and over again. Because that has this line, she's my candy apple girl or something. Anyways, with the audiophile version, I don't know what that would even sound like. Like, I'm trying to kind of visualize it. And the only thing I can think when I think audiophile album, I think like here's this expansive like heavy album or this orchestral album, you know what I mean? Like something that has a lot of elements to it where you have to just kind of sit and bask in all of the elements. And I don't think that's what it is. So I don't know what Dookie would sound like in an audiophile thing. I think they're doing this because they released Dookie songs on all those things like a while ago, like the Teddy Ruxpin and the
Which I didn't win.
No? Did you try for it?
I tried for every item there was. I didn't win a single one. And I'm like I realized
No.
there was probably tens or hundreds of thousands of people that had tried, and somehow I
Yeah.
was still mad that I didn't win one. Like I'm like
The singing fish one, like the Billy Bass, that would have been A plus. That would have been so fun. Next time. I think maybe they're doing this to balance out that. Like, oh, we did something fun and now we're doing something serious and we're kind of covering all of our bases. It does seem a little excessive, but I don't know. I'm not a vinyl connoisseur. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't. I mean, I'm not anti Green Day. I don't really care about Dookie at all. I've listened to it multiple times. To me, it's catchy, but it doesn't move me at all.
Right.
I do think it's maybe somewhat amusing that punk, which is supposed to be, I don't know, the DIY genre or whatever, to like here is a extremely expensive, fancy version. But that being said, I'm not opposed to treating punk like top tier art because I think it is top tier art.
Oh,
If
100%.
people want this, that's fine. I think, but I personally, I don't think the audio file version will sound that much different than a good CD or a good record because, like M says, it's not classical, it's not an orchestra, it's not even jazz. It's one guitar, one bass, one vocal, one drum. You know, it's not going to sound like how good can it like what are you not hearing on the regular version that the audio file version you're going to hear? Maybe
Yeah.
you'll hear slightly higher definition of the guitar, but on the other hand, like with a lot of these audiophile version ones, the Beatles and even some of the Rolling Stone ones, famously they don't sound that good because in the mastering phase they're tweaked so much so that you get high definition that the actual warmth or levels are lost and it sounds kind of flat or just not that good, you know.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so they don't always sound that great. I mean, the fidelity might be great, but the actual record, which is the point, doesn't sound that great. I don't know about this one. That being said, I'm annoyed by these records where there's like te like, and they, like, and then I talked about that about I don't know 4 or 5 podcasts ago. Em and I were briefly
Which
talking
one?
about this subhuman not subhumans, UK subs record that I
Oh,
got like this
yeah.
budget UK sub that had like 12 songs per side, and you know.
Yeah.
Like it sounded awesome, you know. It's like, hey, the UK subs, but now they're like, no, we can only put 10 minutes per side on a record. It's like that is that's so annoying that like you have to flip a record over every 10 minutes. And so I would be annoyed by this record, frankly. If they could make it audiophile, but like make it, you know, two sides, I'd be more into it. But I don't care. I really don't care about a record that's got 10 minutes or 8 minutes a side. And so to me, really not that many of these are gonna get played. I think it'll sound good, but I think it won't sound that much better than the normal ones. And so I think it's kind of silly. and a little over the top. And I'm not going to buy it. But on the other hand, Em, if this was like a rudimentary Peni record, like Cacophony, I'd buy it in 2 seconds. So it just goes down to, are you a fan? You know?
Definitely.
So if people aren't doing it, that's fine. I mean, there's no real conversation about Green Day, quote, selling out, because if they sold out, and if that is even relevant, which I'd argue might not even be relevant, that happened decades ago. So this is just a thing you can buy or not buy. And on the other hand, man, I don't get that worked up over music anymore. You know what I mean? Like, if it's cool, I'm into it. If it's not, whatever, I don't care. You know, like, and sure. It is funny when I run into guys my age or even older that get like all worked up. They're like, I can't believe Green Day's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm like, I don't care, man. I'm not going, you know, like I really don't care, you know, like, or they're like, or someone like my age or older, like so-and-so sold out. I'm like, they sold out for, you mean they made $4,000? That's how they sold out. You know, like is that even a thing? There's someone I know that's always talking about bands selling out. Oh, I know who I'm thinking of, but I'm not going to name them. But it's like, that is okay. So, like, selling out doesn't even exist anymore because no one's making any money except for the ultra mega stars, you know? So
Taylor Swift's a real sellout.
I wonder how much money Amo makes. And because, you know, my mind actually was blown. This is only semi-related.
Yes.
Like, I wonder how much Amo makes and the Chats make. I actually think they make pretty good money, which Amo should make pretty good money because they're a cool band. But like, mm-hmm. like comedians, Em, like I know as a comedian, it's very hard to make a living. But once you get over a certain line, the money is insane. Like you go out, it's just you. It's not even a band. You go out and you tell the same jokes you've been telling for the last 30 days and you make $100,000, $300,000. Like there was actually, I'll tell you, this is, I don't want to get too off track. But, like, I saw some list that, like, you know this comedian, like, Matt Rife, who I can't stand?
Matt Rife? I am not familiar. Why can't you stand him?
He's just, like, annoying, like, frat bro kind of thing that everyone, like, loves. I think he's not that. Like, I think most comedians really aren't that funny. The comedians that I think are funny, like, no one cares about. Well, that's not true.
Who do you think are funny?
I like Mitch Hedberg a lot. I like Stephen Wright. I like, there's this guy called, I don't even know his name, Gabriel something, who's funny. I think Chris Gethard's funny. I think what's her name? Nikki Glaser, I think, is funny. I think those comedians, I think, are funny. But most even the most famous ones, I think are like not that good, you know. Anyways, like there's comedians that are making like $500 million a year, $300 million a year as a comedian. That's crazy, you know.
Living the dream, though.
Like Taylor Tomlinson, she's making like $30 million a year as a comedian. That's crazy.
Oh my god, that's so much money.
And all
she was the one that did the Quarter Life Crisis thing, right?
Maybe. I don't know. But like you go out there, you tell a 45-minute, it's so much easier than being in a band, and you drive around, you relax all day, you go, you tell 45 minutes of the same script you've got written. And it's not like you can accidentally play a wrong note or something. You just talk. And yeah. You walk out and make, you know, $100,000 or $200,000. It's crazy. With that being said, the vast majority of comedians don't make that much money. I guess what it is, Em, is, and this is true with music to a degree too, is like, I'm like, well, why is this person making $200 million and this person is making $200? Like I don't see that big of a difference, you know? Although with comedians, it definitely seems the better looking they are now, the more money they make, which annoys me.
I'm trying to think of like a good looking comedian. That's not meant to be like mean. I'm just like, who do you mean?
Well, I wonder if I could find this list, but
the list of good looking comedians?
No, like let me see. Top earning comedians 2024. Let's see if I can find this. Here we go. Top 20 2024 comedians of 2024. Here we go.
All right. Let's hear them.
All right. Number 10, Joe Coy. I have no idea who that is.
Oh, he did.
$26 million, man. $26 million for comedy.
He hosted one award show. I have never watched his stand-up, though. I think Sam saw him live once. I could be wrong.
Adam Sandler, $27 million. Jerry Seinfeld, $27 million. Trevor Noah, who I can't stand.
Why don't you like Trevor Noah?
Because I don't want a South African making fun of Americans. Like, that really annoyed me. And that, like, The Daily Show makes fun of Americans. And when Jon Stewart does it, he's an American. I get it. But I don't want someone from some other country making fun of Americans, especially when he's a fancy rich boy like Trevor Noah making fun of people that don't make that much money. That's why. I can't stand
it. I don't think he came from wealth.
He certainly did.
I don't remember. I mean, I don't know a lot about him, but I read his book and I don't remember a lot of like money floating around.
He's not gonna draw a light to it. I'll tell you exactly. Give me a second here. Let's see here.
But also, isn't he an American citizen?
I don't think so. But even if he is, I don't want a non-American making fun of American farmers. I cannot get down with that. You know what I mean? So let's see.
Fair enough.
I think he's a rich boy. Let me see here. Yeah, he's a rich boy. His dad's some inventor or something like that. Yeah.
Who else is on the list?
Give me a second here. Let's see here. Oh, I lost track of it. Here we go. but Trevor's handsome, if you will, you know. Well, Bert Kreischer, 30 million, not handsome. I'll give him that. He's not handsome.
Is he the machine?
He might be. I think he's got a very big podcast. His thing is that he never wears a shirt, which is, you know, I don't get why that.
He's the machine.
Then there's this guy called Sebastian Maniscalco, who I've never even heard of. 37 million. Cat Williams, 38 million. Actually, most of these people are not handsome. Gabriel Iglesias, 42 million, not handsome. Here you go. Matt Rife, frat boy, 58 million. Number one, Nate Barsgates, 83 million.
Oh, Bergazzi. Bergazzi. He's a comedian from Nashville.
Is he hilarious?
He does like very good natured kind of poking fun sort of thing where like it's mostly family friendly, but he gets some good zingers in. If that makes sense.
Should I check him out?
I've never watched any of his stand up. I saw him host SNL and he had a Christmas special, I think, that we watched. He's kind of funny. Like, he's kind of funny.
Well, at any rate, I'm not that into comedy. So, anyways, I'm just amazed that comedians make that much money. I guess, I mean, I like comedy. I'm not anti-comedy. I'm just not that impressed by comedy. I don't know why. It takes a really good comedian. I like comedy. Like, I think Rodney Dangerfield's hilarious. I think Mitch Hedberg's hilarious, you know. These other guys that are just like, or gals. You know, I'm not just not that impressed. But I like she doesn't really do stand up, but Audrey Plaza I think is hilarious. Nikki Glaser I think is funny, but yeah, I don't know.
Margaret Cho?
No, nah, I don't think she's that funny. I think she's annoying.
Why?
Because her comedy's mean. I don't like mean. Like,
how
I don't
is she
like,
mean?
I don't like comedy where they see. Well, first of all, I don't really like Margaret Cho and a lot of other comedians, like Matt Rife or like I don't know. Who's that one guy that I can't think of his name, but like when the comedian is cool, I'm not into when the comedian is cool. I want the comedian to be some weirdo or something. Like if the comedian's like I've got everything together, I've got it all figured out, then I just think they're a dickhead. And when they make fun of other people, it makes me feel like they're a bully. You know what I mean? Whereas Rodney Dangerfield is like, I get no respect. Hey, you know, or like Mitch Hedberg is like some weird stoner type guy. You know what I mean? Or Chris Farley. I like Adam Sandler a lot, but Adam Sandler is like a weirdo, you know, at least in his stand up act, you know? So yeah, even Nikki Glaser, like Nikki Glaser, like super good looking, but like her thing is like, you know, her life is a mess, even though it really isn't probably like her life is probably totally together in real life, you know, but in her stand-up act is like a mess, if you will, you know.
Interesting.
I don't like comedians that here's what it comes down to. I mean, this is exactly why I don't like Trevor Noah. I don't like comedians where the point of their comedy is that they're the smartest person in the room. That's what I don't like. I hate that.
Oh, fair.
That's what I hate. Like even Jon Stewart, who sort of portrays that, like he makes fun of himself too, you know. And I like Jon Stewart.
Oh, so he has like that self-deprecating thing that
Yes,
like
and Trevor
evens
Noah,
her out.
Trevor, see, Trevor Noah is very, here's what it is, Em. Trevor Noah is very pleased with himself. And that's why it really annoyed me when he's making fun of Americans on The Daily Show and he's not an American. I don't know if he's an American citizen or not. It's like he's making fun of people that have worked their entire lives, 60, 70 hours a week, you know, and he's just some rich boy, you know, that feels he's smarter than everyone else. That's why I didn't like him. That's why. And that's why I'm annoyed by Margaret Cho. Same kind of thing. I'm the smartest person in the room, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not that impressed by people that say they're smart. You know what I mean? Because in my life, I've probably worked with probably three for real deal geniuses, like actual geniuses, and not a single one of them are cocky in that respect.
Interesting.
I don't know how we got off on this tangent, Em. Em, do you feel we get off on too many tangents on the Punk News podcast? I feel we've been
Oh,
tangenting a lot lately.
I like tangenting. I think it's fun.
Well, let's get back on track, Em. Headline Records
No.
in LA.
Okay. Yes.
Headline Records in LA is restarting the record label. And if you want to be on the label, you can if you're a California band. You just got to email John at headlinerecords.com or Jean, because he's from France. I've been to Headline Records. It's a very iconic record store. Although when you go there, you'll be surprised at how small it is. It's really small. I've got mixed feelings about Headline Records in that, like, it's an iconic record shop. He's got some cool records. I'm not necessarily a huge fan because he sells a lot of bootleg shirts. And I'm not even necessarily against bootleg shirts as a whole. Like, if there's a band that's not active that no one's managing or taking care of anymore, then maybe it is cool to bootleg. The Screamers is always my prime example.
Right.
No one is managing the Screamers catalog. That music should be preserved. So if bootlegging shirts and even bootlegging records is what keep that band in discussion and in people's memory, then I'm okay with it. But I'm not cool when stores and distributors bootleg active bands that are touring that need mu that money to sub exist. Like, if you bootleg a Green Day t-shirt, I actually think that's still not cool, but fine. Green Day's got tons of money. But if you're bootlegging like a mid-level band that is making, like, you know, like we'll call it regular money, if you will,
Sure.
that's like not cool. And Headline Records has got a ton of that kind of stuff. And last time I went there, I saw a bunch of my client stuff up there. And
Oh no.
I said to my clients, I'm like, yeah, we should do something about this. And all of them were like, oh, Jean's all right. Like, for some reason, this guy gets a free pass. I guess because he's a nice guy or something, you know? And so, and maybe it's because he was a fan when a lot of these bands were just getting started, so he gets kind of a free pass. And
Sure.
I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think
No.
I think he should reconsider bootlegging low and mid-level active bands that use that money to survive. Because the fact of the matter is, Em, is he could actually sell official shirts by these bands and not lose that much money. You know, I mean, like, lose is the wrong word. Like, when he bootlegs a shirt, he probably makes 10 bucks. You know, he could sell official
Sure.
shirts and make $6. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. So I don't hate the guy. I just think he should reconsider that aspect of his business. Anyway, M, it's
Yes.
cool that he's kind of making CDs, but M, is that needed in 2025? Do you need a record shop to make CDs of your band when you literally can just go online and hand over 250 bucks and have 100 CDs of your own?
Well, like,
Or is that not the point? Is the
I
point
don't think
just
that's the
having
point.
fun? You know what I mean?
I
What's the
think the
point?
point is like, we're getting our stuff pressed for this like really iconic shop. We're gonna have it on, you know, like the shop's label. The shop's gonna carry it. A lot of like cool punk people go here and you know they're going to hear us. I think it's that, and I think it's kind of the excitement of going back to like the analog sort of, even though they're CDs, but like you know way of doing things where you're not emailing. I mean you are emailing somebody, but like you're going to have like a product in your hand at the end of the day. You're not just going to have like a streaming link. So I think there's novelty and nostalgia, and I don't think that's a bad thing in this case. I think that's pretty cool.
Well, there you have it. And will you be making a record for Headline Records?
I will move to California expressly for this purpose.
Let's see here. Oh, we got another sad story. Maybe we'll wrap this up. Well, actually, I guess we'll call it a sad story. Interpunk has shut down. And you're probably a little bit too young for Interpunk, but Interpunk was an online punk music and shirt and a punk item distributor starting in 1997 through 2024. And before Amazon got really big, and before there was things like Bandcamp, and even before it was, and even before Discogs, and even before it was easy to sell stuff up on your own website or through Bandcamp, Interpunk was the place to go to in the 2000s to get punk CDs back in the and records back in the day. And by back in the day, I mean 2005, 2006, 2004, 2008, 2009. And I ordered a ton of stuff from Interpunk. And at the time, it was kind of the only way to get a lot of stuff. Stuff that wasn't like stuff that was not super odd, but not totally like you can get Rancid at the CD store, right? But can you get Mischief Brew? Can you get Kamen Rider? Can you get one of the rarer Misfit records? Can you get a Later Day Ramones record? Can you get a new record by a new band? At the record store, not a whole not all the time, but Interpunk was like the connection for that, and for a hot, and they even had exclusive stuff for a good 10 to 15 years. Interpunk was the store to get your punk records at. I mean, it was pretty cool, and it was pretty cheap, or at least reasonable, and it was, you know, fun to do mail order them. Starting around maybe 2015 or so, they started to have a lot of problems. Stuff would not get mailed out, or you might not get stuff for 8 months or 10 months, or you send them an email and they say it had shipped, but it hadn't shipped, and things got kind of weird and sketchy, and sometimes you would get the stuff and sometimes you wouldn't. On, you know, it's not too hard to find, but on the Interpunk Facebook and, you know, on Reddit and stuff, a lot of people had some claims about why they were having issues, which could be true. I don't know.
Sure.
What about getting sued for defamation again?
not today.
So there was, you know, a lot of, I guess, unfortunateness and sadness around the decline of Interpunk, because for a good 10 years, maybe 15 years, it was, I don't want to say it was something everyone rallied behind, but it was a cool commonality that everyone enjoyed going to. Like in the physical space, everyone loves going to Amoeba Records, and it's fun to go to Amoeba Records and see people in Amoeba Records and buy stuff at Amoeba Records. And when you're in Pennsylvania and you see someone with an Amoeba bag, you're like, Amoeba, I've been there. And you talk about Amoeba. Interpunk was the digital version of that for about 10 years. And then it declined quite significantly and quite rapidly. The Interpunk founder and owner, Bob Shermeron, passed away in December. And now Interpunk is no more. Perhaps like the possible sale of Fat M, another punk hallmark has shut down. In large part, maybe not the only part, is that's because of Amazon, but it's also because of Bandcamp. And so it's sad, but is something like Interpunk necessary when Bandcamp exists? I don't know, Em. How do you juggle that? Is that sad or not sad? You know,
I never interacted with Interpunk just because, it wasn't really.
Interpunk was, and from like 2000 to 2012, 15, Interpunk was huge. I mean, Interpunk was a different service than Bandcamp, but it was of the size of Bandcamp, and that like every punk talked about Interpunk and buying stuff from Interpunk. You know, like, oh, Mischief Brew's got a new record out. Where'd you get it? Interpunk. Or you were just going to Interpunk to see what was coming out and maybe buy some stuff that you didn't know was coming out, you know?
Yeah.
So the question, I guess, is aside from the mismanagement, which probably was part of Interpunk's downfall, is it sad when a punk hallmark becomes obsolete? And
like in this case, it's kind of sad, but also I feel like there's a better way out there now, like with Bandcamp, because I know Bandcamp still takes a cut, but you know, and nowhere is perfect, but they have the Bandcamp Fridays, a lot of the money goes directly to the artists. You know, you can get some pretty unique stuff that way. This does sound like it definitely had an edge with getting harder to find releases. Because I feel even though we do have Amazon and we do have like all these things, there's still things that are out of print, or there's things that are really rare, or, you know, kind of whatever, that unless you're super active on Discogs, you're or going to like meets and stuff, you're probably not gonna find. So from that perspective, I think it's sad that this place is no longer, but also just from what you said and what I kind of read through in the comments and whatever, it seemed pretty spotty on shipping. Like people saying, oh, I never got this, or I did get it, but it was so many months later and stuff. And I know there's delays with shipping and, you know, different things, especially if they're coming from different countries. But, you know, it does come a point where you start to kind of scratch your head and raise your eyebrow, you know.
And the last thing, the last thing that I ordered from Interpunk was the Misfits 1950 Project 1950 Expanded Edition. That the last my last conversation with Interpunk was that shipping was delayed, and so
Oh no.
I don't know if I ever actually got my money back for that. And I ordered it. Wow, and I ordered it on December 11, 2014. And my
My
last email
gosh.
about it was November, no, October 28, 2015. Pretty sure I never got my money back from that.
Oh no. Do you remember how much it was?
Probably like $30.
Oh jeez. Oh no.
Let's look. Let's see here. No, actually, I ordered a bunch of stuff. A Dwarf 7-inch, leftover Crack CD, and Misfits. Okay, so I
Oh
ordered those
wow.
three things. But I guess I think I never got Misfits 1950. But I know I got the Dwarves thing and the Leftover Crack thing, and that was 2015. I'm surprised I was ordering that late from Interpunk. I thought I stopped around 2012. So, anyways, Em, it is yet another end of an era. Em, so
Another
anyways,
end of an
you know,
era.
I feel sorry that Dave passed away. Kind of
Yeah.
pretty sad. And kind of sad about the end of Interpunk. I remember probably the greatest score I ever got with Interpunk is long after Kamen Rider put out their first LP, it had shot up to like $80 or $100. And this is about, let me see when that record came out. Give me a second here. And this is one of the cool things about Interpunk. So Last Wave Rockers, the first Kamen Rider record, came out in 1999. And the LP came out in 1999, and for whatever reason, and it shot up to like $100. And then for whatever reason, in like 2007, Interpunk had a bunch of them, and I ordered one. I wish I had ordered 50 of them, but I ordered one, and I was so I got like this $100 record for $12 just because they came across it or whatever, which was like they could have jacked up the price, but they didn't. They just sold it at like discount prices, so that was kind of cool, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So the cool thing then, which probably will never happen again because like Discogs has very much standardized prices and eBay standardized prices. Sometimes you can get crazy good deals just because the internet wasn't as prevalent as it was, so the
Sure.
prices of certain things weren't necessarily clear to everyone. Like now, if I want to know what a record's worth, I just go on Discogs. I know exactly what it's worth. But before Discogs
Yeah.
and before eBay, you know, what's this Misfits record worth? Tough to say, and very much influenced by the immediate area, not the prices across the entire country, you know.
Yeah.
And so Interpunk was kind of the last bastion of that before, I guess, Discogs and eBay standardized everything. So kind of a sad ending. And I think we'll never see anything like that again. Well, I shouldn't say never, but at least not for a while. I don't know. Anything else you want to talk about?
What else has happened lately? I don't think I have anything else right now.
Well,
Wait, what was that?
are you sad about the drummer of Taking Back Sunday leaving the band, Em?
I was surprised that he was leaving the
It
band, but I'm
definitely,
not sad that he's leaving the band.
definitely. Somebody put a really funny comment in here. Is this is must have this is this must have been how it felt when John Bonham died.
Oh my God.
Like, man, way to you know. knock the wind out of the guys. It definitely sounds like they're fighting, but I honestly, I don't
Yeah.
like, I don't care about Taking Back Sunday one way or another. Like I couldn't name a single Taking Back Sunday song. I've heard them and did not like it. So,
oh, you're not a Taking Back Sunday fan.
No, I hate the name too. I think the name's dumb.
Why? You don't want to take back Sunday?
What does that even mean?
It means you're taking back Sunday.
From who?
From the church?
Is that what it means, though?
I have no idea. I don't know the origin behind the name. I'll look it up.
A lot of bands have dumb names, and they should work on their names. Homefront, cool name. I say that's cool. Aimless Sniffers, cool name. You know,
cool name.
Surfboard, honestly, probably kind of a dumb name, but it works for the band, so it's awesome. That band's awesome. So, you know, and that's a fact. Like, depending on how awesome the band is, you can get, like No Doubt. Like, that's actually a pretty crappy name, but you don't think about it because the band's awesome. Or Sublime. Like, Sublime has nothing to do – like, the name Sublime has nothing to do with the band Sublime, but you don't question it because the band's so good, you know. Whereas, like, Generation Suicida, cool name. Cool name because it's in Spanish, but also Suicide Generation, cool name as well.
Very cool name.
Oh, here's one thing I want to talk about, Em. The Dead Boys. They've got a new singer, but they're not saying who it is. Who do you think it is?
What, do we have any knowledge? Like, do we have any hints? Do we have any crumbs we can follow?
I actually think there actually might not be one. I just think,
like,
why wouldn't you just say who it is? Like, I get trying to drum up interest, but we posted the story almost 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the point of saying we've got a singer, but we're not telling you, and then not telling anyone? Like, what's the point of that? Like, I would understand we've got a new singer, and we're going to announce them in 10 days, you know. Em, I just had a wild idea, though.
What?
Not that I care about Dead Boys 2025, although their live album they put out was real good, but that's the old band. What if the new singer of the Dead Boys, Em, was a woman singer? What about that?
Ooh.
That'd be kind of cool.
Cool.
Honestly, I think that's the only way forward, and I'll tell you why, Em. Because no matter what, either you got to bring in somebody like famous, like quote somebody like Keith Morris or whatever. But Keith Morris would never do something like that. A, because he makes way more money in his other bands, and B, it's kind of a step down, you know. So either you got to bring in someone known that's cool and respected, or you got to bring in someone completely different. If you just bring in some guy, people are like this is a karaoke act. But if you bring in someone totally different, well, maybe it's interesting again. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, like it's a shot or a third or second wind kind of thing.
A great example would be the guy from the Toy Doll, Olga from Toy Dolls is playing with, I forget the name of the band, at Punk Rock Bowling. Before, it's just some band that's been around the block a million times. But now it's, oh, they've got Olga in the band.
Yeah,
which band was that? Do you remember? Let me look.
I'm looking it up because it's like it's right there. Oh, is that that was just the dates?
It's like one of the bands that's like been around forever. That isn't even a bad band, but you know.
I want 2025, please. Punk News. The search feature.
It is
kicking my ass. Cockney Rejects.
Yes, right. That's cool, you know.
That is cool.
So I mean, that's cool. I'm like, oh, if someone's like, oh, the Cockney Rejects are playing, I'd be like, all right, fine. But the Cockney Rejects is Olga. I'm like, ooh, you know.
Yeah, like that's fun.
Yeah, you know. So yeah. So M, who do you think it is, and who would you like it to be?
I would like
Who do you think it is? Who would you like it to be with no rules? Like you could even say Jimi Hendrix. You know what I mean? Who would you like it to be? Pop, like you could say, oh, it should be Laura Jane Grace and the Dead Boys. But Laura Jane Grace is not going to sing for the Dead Boys. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Who would you like it to be? Fantasy. Who would you like it to be within the realm of reason? And who do you think it is? I'll go first.
Yeah.
Here's what I think is just some person that we never heard of. You know, or some. You know.
Okay.
Like, who would I like it to be fantasy-wise? I will say. Well, I would say Blag of the Dwarves, because I know Blag loves the Dead Boys, and he's one of the few that actually could pull it off. But I wouldn't want to see that because I wouldn't want him to take time away from the Dwarves. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I'll say my fantasy pick will be... Here's my crazy fantasy pick, Em. that would never have Iggy Pop, because
Ooh, I
Steve of
like
the Dead
it.
Boys wants to be Iggy Pop. You know what I mean? So what if you brought in Iggy
Yeah.
Pop? There's my fantasy that will never happen, and I kind of hope that doesn't happen, because I'd rather see Iggy Pop. But that being said, that would be cool. My realm of possibility, M, I will say it's probably got to be somebody that's American, because it's too hard to have someone overseas, you know, fly out for shows or whatever. So I will say, so like a good example, like Frank Carter and the Sex Pistols, that's
Yes.
possible, you know, obviously, you know.
Yes.
So for my Dead Boys pick, I should have thought this through, Em. For my Dead Boys pick, I will say my possible Dead Boys pick. Oh, but like I said, I think
Oh,
like a
he's
woman
American.
would be like, you know, it would be cool to see Danny Miller do it, but I wouldn't want to see, I want her to take time away from some surfboard. So I will say, Em, I'll say Penelope Houston of the Avengers, Em. That's my possible
Oh,
pick. Bam.
I like that. That's a good pick.
And they play some Avengers tunes as well, because the
That is a
Avengers
good
backing
pick.
band is spread out across the country, and I think there actually might only be one or two current people in the Avengers backing band. So Penelope Houston of the Avengers with the Dead Boys, or M, I'll even do another possible,
Okay.
Dog Party and Dead Boys together as one. That's my other choice.
Oh, that's a very interesting choice. I like
That'd be
it.
awesome, actually. Or I'll do even one more, M. I'll do even
Yes.
one more. This one is totally possible.
Okay.
Kepi and the Dead Boys. There's my
Oh,
pick.
yeah.
So Kepi or Penelope Houston. Honestly, I think my Kepi pick is probably the most realistic. And what's your pick?
That's hard. For not gonna happen, but I think would be cool, would be Axl Rose.
Ah, of course. I think didn't Guns N' Roses cover Dead Boys on their cover record?
Yep. They covered Dead Boys. They covered Ain't It Fun with Michael Monroe.
Good choice, Em. Good choice.
Thank you. I mean, he could do it now.
He could.
But and then for like I like the Avengers. That's a really good one. I'm gonna say just because I think it would be an interesting mix and I think she could bring some stuff would be Alice Bag.
That's a good
Just
choice.
because I think it would be cool. And
Do you
then I
think Alice
like
Bag would get along with Cheetah Chrome, though?
nope.
Yeah, probably not.
No, I think it would be like two shows
Yeah.
maximum.
Yeah.
But it would
Maybe
be
one.
fun. Yeah.
It would be fun. It would be fun.
And I was looking in the comments, and the first comment is Rome. And I just thought that was really
I'd
funny.
go see that. I would go see that.
Would be so funny. Oh my gosh. I think we have good picks, though. I hope it's one of ours.
I think it's going to be some person we never heard of, them. They're going to be like, it'll be some band that maybe we've heard of, you know, like, well, I don't want to be a dick, but like, you know, some like fourth tier punk band from the 80s. They'll be like, so and so is the new singer, and it's like, oh, I don't care about that at all, you know. So,
Right.
M, do you want to see the Dead Boys succeed, or do you want to see them fail? That's the question.
In general.
Yeah, like a lot of people have grievances with Cheetah Chrome. And actually, after my interview, I was amazed at how many people texted me that specifically dislike Cheetah. I don't know, man. Like, I just I don't know why people dislike him. Maybe he did uncool stuff. He was pretty cool with me, but maybe he's been a dick in the past. I don't know. But also, like, I don't necessarily mind that Cheney's a dick, because it's the Dead Boys. They're not known for being nice. But on the other hand, that's easy to say, but when someone's a dick to you, it tends to change your perspective. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I don't know much about him, really, if anything.
I mean, I like that he's a rough and tumble kind of guy, honestly. So, Em, do you want to see them succeed or see them fail?
There are a few people that I want to see fail, and I am not invested enough in this, for them to be one of them, and I don't want to send any ill will. So I'm gonna say succeed.
I'll co-sign that. I would like to
Yeah.
see the Dead Boys succeed. Why not? Why not, Em? Why not?
Why not?
So yeah. So anyway, let's wrap this on up. You can always use that podcast at punknews.org. And I don't know, any closing words for the listeners?
Any closing words? Go read all of our lists and check out all of the bands. You should do that right now.